We need prompt action. We cannot hear that we hope to have more soon, because hope is not a strategy. More is not a quantity, and soon is not a timeline.
And let me ask you one last question. Almost every news conference he begins by talking about the Chinese virus. You yourself are Chinese American, came here as a child from China. We have 10 seconds.
We need to follow the science and the evidence. The World Health Organization has a name for this disease. Let's use that. It's called COVID-19.
Dr. Lina Wen, all the very best to you. Emergency physician, public health professor at George Washington University, previously served as Baltimore's health commissioner. That does it for our show. An enormous thank you to the whole team, my beloved community of Democracy Now!, many of whom are staying at home to protect the community, but working ever so hard. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wales, Tammy Warrenoff, Libby Rainey, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen. Special thanks to Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you so much.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8 a.m., which means it's time for talk radio, more talk radio specifically with Cecil and Celeste, coming up in just a moment. So get those phones ready.
KBOO Portland. Did you know that KBOO podcasts all our news and talk shows?
You can find the podcast on KBOO's website, kbo.fm, on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Just search for your favorite show and hit subscribe to get all the latest episodes downloaded to your favorite device.
Or search for KBOO on iTunes, Google Play to get all the KBOO podcasts.
If you've been listening to KBOO, then you know that all of our programmers are remote, but that doesn't mean that they're not here for you. That means that they're on the line calling in remotely. Cecil and Celeste, are you there?
Good morning.
All right, take it away.
Okay. Good morning, Celeste.
Hey, good morning. I didn't get any of that sunshine yesterday. Do you have any canned up that you could, like, you know, send me? Can I borrow a cup of sunshine?
A cup of sunshine. Yeah, I got some, there was some yesterday and a few days before that. And it was really nice, and now things are back to normal.
Well, I hope people weren't hoarding the sunshine. I hope that's it.
Right. Hey, I came across this poem by B. You remember the actress B. Richards? But she passed away in 2000, African American actress, and did a lot of films and plays. But she has a poem called Today. It goes like this. Say, today is ours, let's live it. And love is strong, let's give it. A song can help, let's sing it. And peace is dear, let's bring it. The past is gone, don't rule it. Our work is here, let's do it. Our world is wrong. Let's right it. The battle hard. Let's fight it. The road is rough. Let's clear it. The future vast. Don't fear it. Is faith asleep? Let's wake it. Today is ours. Let's take it.
All right.
Actress. So let's take the day.
Carpe diem, seize it. You know, that'll work for me, especially when, you know, so often we're dealing with, in this pandemic situation, we're dealing with things being taken from us, but we can still seize the day, even a cloudy day like this, and seize the life opportunities to come with it.
Yeah, it's so great. There is so much, and there are so much to do and so much to participate in. And as you say, let's carpe diem, let's seize the day. So lots of things are happening in our world today. And, you know, sometimes I tend to forget, which you reminded me, that, you know, we'll probably have an election this fall, and people are trying to decide not only who to vote for, but I think it's apparently that time where people are positioning themselves for vice president. Is that not correct?
Yep, that's right. I mean, we were trying to think of some topics we could have to, like, try to not oversaturate ourselves with the challenge of going through the COVID-19 shutdown and how that's affecting people. And one of the things that I had considered was, well, you know, if everything returns to normal, we're going to still be dealing with things like dirty laundry, library books overdue, getting gasoline, voting. You know, like mom always said, life is maintenance, you know, and so there's still some maintenance activities that are going to take place. So I thought that's one of the things we could talk about. Life is not normal right now, but some things are still going on. I dare say, still brush your teeth while you wash your hands, you know.
Well, I'm just saying.
So I wanted to check in and talk with folks about their choice. Who do they think would be a good fit for vice president? Now, I know before we talked about the challenges of women having been viable and taken seriously as candidates for president. So, of course, we want to hear what you have to say about women as good candidates for VP or VP or however you want to say it, but also just who in general. There's thoughts that we need some diverse action, diverse vision, diverse representation. What are your thoughts?
And the two Democrats who are still in there, the Vice President Biden and Senator Sanders. First, Vice President Biden made a commitment for a woman. I think he said he made a commitment for a woman, and the senator from Vermont also sort of like made that sort of commitment. So I think they're probably both set to have a woman as a running mate. So who shall that be? And if there are Republicans out there who would like to share about the Republicans, you know, I've heard of rumors that if the Democrats nominate a woman as vice president, the president will dump Pence and try to vote.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but the idea of dump Pence.
Hey, Cecil and Celeste, real quick, this is Jenna in the air room. I just want to let you know that I accidentally just put Joe on the line a little. You got Joe as your caller is on the line with you right now. He's a little bit live. Just let you know. He's got a comment for you.
Hi. I just wanted to provide a point of information because you mentioned that library books would still go overdue. And I just wanted to say that right now, at least in Multnomah County, your library books are not going to be fined. The library is not accepting books right now. But there are lots of digital resources that the library is expanding people's access to. And they recently got their chat and email the librarian with questions service back up and running. You can go to multcolib.org to access that. I just wanted to point that out since it was specifically mentioned.
Well, I meant it rhetorically, but this is still great information. Because if people are like me, avid user of the library, things do run overdue. You forget how many you've got. But this is good news for people who are locked in and are worried about paying dues as well as worrying about getting resources. So thank you, Joe.
All right. That's multcolib.org. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, and it's kind of nice not to worry about returning my books right now. So that's great. And I can read them. I have enough time.
Well, that's if you haven't been so addicted to having a screen move before your eyes that Netflix is the only way you're going to take in information. Oops, did I say their name? I wasn't supposed to do that. I mean, that movie thing.
There are various movie platforms you will probably... Yes. So give us a call, 503-231-8187. Who would you suggest should be a good running mate for the Democrats and perhaps for the Republicans as well? There will probably be an election in November, and maybe more states will be forced to move to the Oregon model and have vote by mail. It's efficient, it's safe, and it gets the job done. But who shall be the candidates that you would suggest? And there's been a number of people whose name have floated, including many of the women who ran for president this year. From the representative from Hawaii to the senator from California and Minnesota and Massachusetts, and there was a senator from New York. She also ran. But there are other candidates as well who could be possible choices. Maybe thinking outside of the box. Should we choose someone who's not a Washington politician? Are there women in other offices or women who are outside of the electoral arena who might be your choice for vice president?
Well, what would be some good criteria too for some for choosing a vice president? What are we looking for? We've talked about why some of the women would be good choices, but you may have other ideas. You may have other thoughts. You may have other qualifications that you're looking at that would make the candidate a better pick. What would be some of those criteria if you don't have anyone in mind, if you don't like the candidates now? So that's another thing you can look at.
What are you looking for? The first thing that came to my mind is someone, of course, everyone says someone who could take office on day one. And considering that those who are left running for office on the Democrats and the Republicans are all... older gentlemen in their 70s, probably closer to 80. The fact that the vice president would likely, well, I don't know likely, but you should consider that, someone who might have to take office if something happens, illness or death happens to the president.
Hey, Cecil and Celeste, just to let you know, Tom is on the line whenever you're ready.
Well, you are listening to More Talk Radio here on Your Community Connection, KBOO. Got Tom standing by online. Good morning, Tom. Hello?
I want to suggest to the KBOO programming that at 10 o'clock, they go switch programming, go to the governor's message at 10 o'clock. Why would people want to turn away from KBOO to find out what the governor's got to say at 10 o'clock when we could be listening to our community radio station? So then the topic that you brought out about the VP, which is the, it's not just who we would like, who we feel would be good. It's who will, if we're talking about changing the status of who's in the White House, we're talking about who can help win certain states. And it's not about who can get the most votes, because if you get more votes in California, it doesn't matter. More votes in New York won't matter. It matters that, well, what about Michigan and Wisconsin? Well, I think the Biden selection has may have tanked those two states. So can you win, let's say, Florida? Or can you win Pennsylvania and Arizona? Any of those combinations would do it. But you could just win Florida, and that would take the Electoral College. Or you could win Pennsylvania and Arizona, and that would take it. I'm not even sure if Michigan and Wisconsin together add up quite enough. They're like a vote short in the delegate count just to get those two, if you lose Pennsylvania and Florida. So it's not about who you like. It's about who can get more votes in those states, and who can compensate for the places where Joe Biden would otherwise not get votes. So my thing is, I'm thinking maybe somebody like Julio Castro could pull votes in Florida, Arizona. He might be looked at as progressive enough for helping Wisconsin and as a change maker. But if it's a woman, perhaps I like the idea of Stacey Abrams. Met her, she would pull votes, but I don't. I think that's the calculus that those people that are running this system that should be able to analyze and figure out. It's not just about who we like. That's all I got to say.
Okay, well, that's a thought. That's a thought. But no, getting votes is not exactly. I mean, it's very important. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, how does that figure into the skill set? You think? Okay, if they got the skills to get the votes, or how are you looking at that dynamic there?
Well, I'm looking at, you have to look at, you know, somebody that's a different, not establishment. That's certainly Michigan and Wisconsin. They don't want establishment. They voted for Trump. Bernie was very popular in 2016 in the primaries in both of those states. And so those are key. So then you go with some diversity issue for Florida and Arizona. Pennsylvania is kind of more in between, but somebody that has to be progressive, possibility of look at a female, possibility a person of color, but doing the overall calculation to say, okay, which state can we, which of this combination of states can we actually get the most votes in? Ohio in this state is always being talked about, but if these other things can be run, Ohio doesn't matter. I don't know. You know, Nina Turner is from Ohio. I'd love to see Nina Turner as a VP. I'm not sure if she would help win, where she would help win votes.
So you think that, considering the states that, as you suggested, that the Democrats would need to win, states that Secretary of State Clinton not win, it was my understanding that they tended to be more, is it more conservative? So Ohio, those in the upper Midwest, and including Florida, so would you need a more progressive candidate, as you suggested, or I don't know, because
Bernie crushed in the primary in in Wisconsin and Michigan in 2016. He crushed it. And that, you know, there's the women, the female factor still lives out there, but I think it can be pushed now is a good opportunity to do that. So, but Michigan and Wisconsin were about the economics and change making, both the youth part for one group in Michigan and Wisconsin, and the economics part, right? And since Hillary didn't deliver either of those to those states, they went for, well, Trump, right? Change, you know, something different, even though he was lying. So that's the, you have to do the math. It's all about the math. And
the math, yeah.
Somebody's got to do it. They add things up and see where it is. So.
And, you know, the big wrench in this is what happens with the economy now, because it's now, the economy is now in the tank. And the president is the person who's in charge now. So he has to, although he says he's not responsible, he has to be held accountable for these things. So we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you for your time today. Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you for your call. Good point.
So,
you are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland, and I'm here with Cecil. Cecil's here with me. I'm Celeste. Good morning.
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We had a last caller suggested a few candidates, including Stacey Abrams, who was a candidate for governor, I believe, for Georgia in 2018.
And, you know, we've got a query out. Have you heard anything yet back from She the People? Because we were trying to get in touch with them. Okay. Well, we're still trying to get in touch with them to see if we can get someone on More Talk Radio here to talk about issues that the women of the organization would bring forward to not just the presidential election, but to these elections in general. You know, what kind of qualities, what kinds of strategy, and as our last caller indicated, what kind of goat, I was about to say a real good spoonerism. It was going to be goat vetting power. It's supposed to be goat getting power, but you know, that goat vetting power, it kind of makes sense. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm all right. So anyway, the phone number is 503-231-8187. And KBOO comes in at 90.7 in the Portland metropolitan area, 91.9 in Hood River, Oregon, White Salmon, Washington, and in the Columbia River Gorge. And in the Willamette River Valley, it's 104.3. Actually, it's Paloma at 104.3. There we go. And everywhere else, KBOO.FM. So, okay, so vote getting seems to be a quality that's been offered as not only strategic but necessary for whoever is chosen as a VP. What do you think about that, Cecil?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you mean by vote getting, because all of it is speculation. So, and normally or traditionally, a candidate for vice president had to balance the ticket. So either regionally or philosophically. So those are, and or electability or popularity. So it's very strategic. And I think for me, at least, ideally, it would be someone who you could identify with. There's been some really weird attempts of pulling people together who are not necessarily ideologically aligned. So in 1960,
okay,
you had Kennedy
chose his rival, Lyndon Johnson, for vice president. In 1980, you had Ronald Reagan chose his rival, George Bush, as his vice president candidate. Now, they learned to get along, but they might not have been the first choice because in terms of ideology.
Wasn't part of that vote getting, though? I mean, having Johnson as the VP, that was vote getting strategy, like our caller mentioned.
Right, exactly. And I said that's how things have been done. But, you know, in my world, it would be someone who you are aligned with ideologically, maybe, that who could run with passion your agenda. As the president of the Senate, you would want someone there who could advocate for your position, your programs in the U.S. Senate. But, you know, who knows? You know, Lyndon Johnson was a very powerful, he was Senate Majority Leader. So even though it was vote getting, it was also, it was a wise decision in many ways. So forget everything I just said.
Hey, Cecil and Celeste, I just want to let you know that you have a caller on the line. You got Thomas, who has a comment about Multnomah County Library.
Okay.
Okay, well, not quite the topic. Well, let's see where it goes. Good morning, Thomas. So you want to speak about the library, Multnomah County Library?
I just heard you talking about it, and I just wanted to give some information. I'm an enthusiastic user of the Multnomah County Library, although I live in Vancouver, Washington, and I take out a lot of books and videos and that sort of thing, but I discovered a service that they have. I'm not sure if it's brand new, but I just discovered it. It's called Canopy, K-A-N-O-P-Y. And it's loaded with videos. I mean, there's all kinds of things online. It's very easy to use. And the number and quantity of videos is overwhelming. And there's not a lot of trashy videos on there. I mean, they really have some sort of different selection process. And it's a lot of artful and alternative and that sort of thing, but with some popular stuff thrown in there. It's just not the, you know, the top 10 movies. And for people who do like to watch movies when we're all stuck in our house, I thought it was a really good and useful thing to have. And I just wanted to pass that on.
Well, is this something that is accessible by internet, or is it a service where you actually physically acquire these movies? How does it work?
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Yes, no, it's online, so if you have access to the internet, you know, you can watch these movies. And it seems to me, I'm not sure of this, but sometimes I just go to the Multnomah County Library site before I sign in, and I type in Canopy, K-A-N-O-P-Y, and this comes up. So I'm not even sure if you have to have a library, a password access to use it. I think anybody can use it. I'm not sure of that, but I think that's how it works. And the movies come up just like you see on YouTube. It'd be something very similar to that. But there's huge lists of movies, all kinds of things, and it's quite easy to use.
Okay.
All right. Hey,
thank you for the call. And I was not familiar with that, but I just pulled it up on my computer. Hey, yet another source of streaming videos you can watch while you are bunkered down in your home.
Lockdown. The tension.
And certainly we heard that the governor of Oregon will make her formal announcement this morning about, I don't know if they will continue to use that pithy phrase they got. Was it stay home, stay healthy? But that's the age we are living in. So give us a call at 503-231-8187. We began our conversation this morning by speaking about
who will be a good candidate for vice president for the Democrats or possibly for the Republicans as well. A couple of candidates that came up was Stacey Abrams and Julian Castro, but there are others. We've mentioned the possibility or the necessity of woman as vice president candidate, and I believe that both Biden and Bernie and Sanders have said that they would choose a woman as their vice president candidate. If that's the case, who would you suggest? Should it be someone that they are ideologically aligned, or as one caller suggested, someone who is able to get votes or get things done to pull in votes from states that they need to win? Earlier, a couple of callers called and shared about Multnomah Library and how people can access services during these times in which many of us, all of us, hopefully, are at home doing our work and living, and there are resources that we can have, and it's certainly something that all of us are learning. And if I may toss in just another topic, not only are you stuck or forced to remain in your homes, but at the time when we are told to maintain social distance, as Celeste mentioned to me earlier, and what I heard is that we shouldn't distance ourselves socially. Maybe physically we should distance ourselves. We should distance ourselves physically from one another. But how do we maintain our social connection, and how are we able to support one another? Maybe you have some ideas, maybe you have some stories to tell and things to share about that. Our numbers here at KBOO is 503-231-8187. A candidate for vice president, how do you maintain social connection while physically absent, or other ideas that you might have?
Well, Cecil, you actually have a caller on the line. You have Brian, who has a question for you about vice presidents.
Okay. Well, we will go to Brian, who has a question about vice president. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, good. Good. Before I have a question, I just have to say, no more trash talk in the rain. Everybody loves that pretty sunshine, but if we don't have the rain, we don't have crops, we don't have trees, we have fires, we have all that stuff, so be nice to the rain.
Okay.
I like the rain, Brian. No worries. No worries.
Okay, we got to love the rain. It's our friend. I just wanted to call, and I hadn't heard, or maybe I missed because whatever, happened to get in, and it, go in and out of the room. But it seems to me that the talk, if you're going to talk about women vice president, you got to talk about Elizabeth Warren, right? And you got to talk about Kamala Harris. And
yep.
I was a big Elizabeth Warren fan, and I got to tell you, I almost cried when I saw her, and keeping in mind how Massachusetts responded to her, that she was third place in Massachusetts, that seemed like a dagger in the heart to me. But it does seem like she's such an obvious choice, and of course, like the earlier caller was talking about strategy, and of course, I'm not an expert on that. I mean, I'm just looking at it very, surfacey, and it's like, when I look at it, it's like, well, if you're not like an expert on that, to me, I just like Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren rise to the top. And there were certain things about Kamala Harris that turned me off about her history, about incarceration and things like that. But they seem like obvious ones to talk about. And so I'm just kind of, my question is, why haven't I heard more talk about that? And is there something I'm missing about those two women, especially Elizabeth Warren, kind of rising to the top of candidates of vice president?
Yeah, great.
Well, that's a good question. For Elizabeth, I think a lot of people feel like she's part of the oligarchy.
Oh, really? Can you explain that?
No.
Well, Cecil, looking at me all surprised. The reason I say that is, remember how things went down with Wine Cave Gate?
right? It seemed like she was like on the not oligarch side of that, but explain to me.
What was revealed is that she's had her share of rich gentry supporting her, and some
but
people take
passed,
that
right?
to mean she's not progressive, you know?
But it seemed like we witnessed her evolution. If you look way back, she evolved into a more populist candidate, right? Was it?
Yeah.
Aren't you talking about years past when she would accept money more readily from large donors?
And also the fact that she isn't a lifelong politician. So she first ran for candidate.
That's good. I said I can appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, no, and there's also Kamala Harris. I was thinking, you know, one of the things I believe that kind of shot her down in progressive circles was her history on law enforcement, right? But
right.
One of the things that always has anyone heard from her about her feelings of her history? Has she said like, "Yes, I made a mistake," or has she addressed that at all? Because I mean, we do stick people into these. We pigeonhole them based on their history and not allowing them to evolve and change, which is, you know,
right.
That's a two-edged sword, too. But I would love if somebody out there knows of anything to check out about Kamala Harris's view on her critiques, you know, the things that were brought out about her, and also what you just said about Liz's Warren. It seems like those critiques are from years past, and it seems like she showed true blue colors in the last long period of time to me, but maybe I'm missing stuff.
I think you brought up some good points. One of the reasons I mentioned how some people seem to fear her, both for her past connections and her present ideas of taxation, was a caller we had a few weeks ago who, when we were talking about why weren't women electable, and we had a caller who insisted on talking over me but wanted an answer, and that her tax plan as well as her past connections was brought up, and Cecil brought up that very fact you mentioned. Well, people grow and change, but it seems like some people have not let that go, and given the fact that so many quote-unquote Bernie bros were so opposed to this based on her past, it makes me wonder how many people have been able to see her as evolving, like you said, caller.
Well, yeah, that's interesting, because it seems like her as a senator, I mean, she has done some of the most progressive things of all, right? I mean, in terms of economy, I mean, she seems like she showed her colors. So the stuff you say the Bernie bros are saying, I guess I haven't been tied in close enough. I guess I'd kind of like to know what they're talking about, or, you know,
Well, and also that she came to national prominence as an advocate for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Right.
If anything shows one's progressive colors, it was that, and how she advocated for that, and how she was shot down as the first leader of that bureau when that was enacted because of her progressivism. I'm not necessarily advocating for her, but I think of the candidates, she was very progressive and has been throughout her professional life and a very short political career.
And it does seem like it would be it would help her for people to know that she does have a history, as she was Republican, I believe. I don't know how many years back, but she has a history of progressing and evolving as a person and a politician, so seems like that would be in her favor. But of course, everything could be twisted in both directions. I don't know.
You got a point. Yeah, but no, I'm not necessarily seeing her as part of the oligarchy. I'm just remarking, like I said, as the kind of pushback we got some weeks ago. And for Kamala, the best, you know, I'm thinking the best thing we can do is just do our research and see what comes up.
Yeah, and you were talking about Stacey Abrams, and it sounded, Cecil, like you didn't know that much about her. She's a pretty neat lady. She worked real hard in Georgia to get the right thing done and fought an uphill battle all the way.
Yeah, I agree. So, and she's been doing a lot since the election in terms of voter registration and the movement there.
Absolutely. She's
I can tell. Thank you very much for the conversation. I'll let somebody else in, and thanks for going the extra mile to make this happen.
All right. Well, thank you for your call and your question. And you're listening to Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And when we say we are your community connection, you know, we need you to give us the kind of stimulus and support that any community connector, community asset, community helper requires. And it's not just your financial support in these tight times, you know, as you're able, but more importantly, we want you to tell people that KBOO is still here. Let your friends know that KBOO is still here, and we're trying to maintain not necessarily a fake attitude of normalcy, but normalcy in the face of challenges. We're trying to maintain our programming schedule. We're still trying to maintain the quality programming that's connected to our metropolitan areas where our friends, our neighbors, our programmers live. But we want to also hear from you. So tell your friends, KBOO is still here.
And the fact is that these are times which, you know, community radio is so important. When it becomes the means by which you have access to information and access connection towards your neighbor. There's a story in the Hebrew scriptures about a woman who became a queen, and she resisted the call for responsibility, but she was reminded that for such a time as this, she was called to do her job. And for community radio, we are here for such a time as this. And how we continue to maintain connection with one another, how we continue to build community is why we are here. So we will rise to the challenges that we face because of you and by working together.
All right. So the number is 503-231-8187. Join us in our conversation. We're trying to not so much pretend like COVID doesn't exist, but look at other things that are also concurrently shaping our lives. And one of the things we're looking at is a choice for vice president. Who would you choose? Would you look at the platform the person has, the policies and visions that they embrace? Would you look at their skill, maybe what we'll call star quality? Can they get the votes we need based on some X factor or qualities, which would be still, you know, something real, but still that star power is important. I mean, after all, as Cecil mentioned earlier, Lyndon Johnson had the star power we needed to get the votes in the South. What other factors do you feel are important? And this is whether you are independent, Democrat, Republican, Green Party, whatever, male or female candidates. What do you think? Give us a call. What's the phone number?
503-231-8187. You know, it's really weird because Celeste and I aren't at the same table, and we're on our phones, and we're looking at one another on the screen, and I forget where I'm supposed to direct my speaking voice.
Yeah, look at that camera, not this one. yeah. So, you know, I have no idea who I would vote for or choose as vice president yet, because even though, let's see, this is March. March is almost over. We passed the Ides already, so we're almost over. You got a few months before we're going to be getting down to the real nitty-gritty and stuff. A lot of the candidates that have been mentioned have qualities that I appreciate, you know? So I'm kind of trying to wait just a little bit more and see what skill sets uncovered. I don't know yet. Do you know?
No, it depends on the attitude and the other candidates, because a lot of it is how do they get along with one another. But I want to remind, you know, throughout this electoral season, we've heard over and over that Black women is the foundation base of the Democratic Party. And the two candidates that were mentioned today, Stacey Abrams from Georgia and Kamala Harris from California, are women who represent that base. Kamala Harris, who, you know, during her short campaign, a lot of her base support grew out of her sorority. I mean, her sorority sisters united with her and helped push her campaign forward. Stacey Abrams, a Black woman from California, from Georgia, who ran a very, very noble campaign, and if it was not for the fact that her candidate was the Republican Secretary of State who did some really strange things in that election, she would be the governor of Georgia, is also representative of that base. So I think it is time to do something very traditional that political parties have always done, is give pay back those who have been their base of support. So, you know, I would be thrilled if the Democrats nominated a Black woman as vice president.
Well, okay, you know, I did say I don't know who it would be yet, but I will tell you right now, one woman that's a front runner for me, just because of, you know, and you said it, and when you said it, it's like, yes, I've resonated. It's the integrity and transparency that Stacey Abrams has manifested that really I find to be an illuminating quality. You know, I look at statements that the Obamas made, you know, when they go low, we go high. And that's what Stacey Abrams had to do in her bid for office, because we saw attempts at smearing and just everything that was not honorable. And I often ask myself, why do people vote for candidates who really express a propensity, you know, a quality to go low, to be dirty, to play dirty, just to keep power? Are they so identified with aspects of that person and that power system? Are they so invested in the status quo that they don't want to see the dirt that's being done? Do they have ability to dehumanize their political opponents to the point where they see them as something less than wholesome, you know? In other words, how can they go so low and see other human beings as not being clean? I know we do that as humans, but I guess I'm still amazed that that's not exposed as such a reptilian practice, you know. Am I saying that nice enough, Cecil? I'm trying very hard not
to. well, you are, and just to recognize, talking about going low, you can get no lower than the President of the United States and the way tactics and the way the president treats people and everything. So, you know, one thing Democrats also have to be aware of is that they're not running against someone who will play nice. And the ability to maintain your integrity and refuse to go low is honorable, but you also have to recognize that your opposition will go low, that they will stay low, and your response has to be able to be one in which you are able to maintain your integrity if you refuse to go low, but also to give a reason why that your choice of how you will act will not diminish your ability to win. That's a challenge, and against the number 45, that's a reality you have to be faced with.
That is true. Well, our number is 503-231-8187, and we're talking about qualities and candidates in those qualities.
And Cecil and Celeste, you might have a caller who wants to talk about that. Not quite sure. We got Chris on the line who wants to talk about your vice president topic.
All right, great. Good morning, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for being on, you guys. I mean, we really appreciate this as listeners. You coming out. I don't know if you're out. I guess you're not. You're from home, right? I didn't hear the beginning of the show, but, just for doing the show, because it's a tough time. And everything else shuts down, and there you are. So, thanks. But anyway, on the vice president, I don't know how much you know about Biden, because these picks tend to be people that they're comfortable with. You know what I mean? It's like, if you look at the last few picks, like Hillary picked Tim Kaine, kind of a non-entity. I think I said something about her personality, maybe. Maybe she didn't want to be overshadowed or something. So how much, I guess you have to figure out how much you know about Biden's personality. That will decide, who he picks. The odds makers say it's Kamala Harris. If you go online, they have people are actually wagering on these things, believe it or not. And then Klobuchar, and I think Stacey Abrams is in the top four or five, maybe third or something. So there's a chance. Don't think Biden. I really think he's too conservative to pick. I think he's going to pick Klobuchar. That's my guess, because he's someone like.
Do you think he'd pick Kamala over Tulsi Gabbard?
Oh, yeah. Tulsi Gabbard has done herself in by her stance, by visiting Syria, for one thing. That's kind of it's kind of beyond the pale, because, we were at war with that country.
Right.
So that's like visiting, that's like Jane Fonda visiting North Vietnam during the Vietnam War. So what do you think? I mean, did you think he was really going to pick her or what?
I think Kamala Harris would be a safe pick for Biden. I think he feels comfortable with her. She's a mainstream player, and
yes.
Well, the Democrats are going to win California anyway, so it isn't that she'll bring in California, but,
she'll be able to
check boxes. Black woman, yeah. Safe.
Well, that's right. She is mixed race, actually, right? I mean, she's...
Right, Asian and black.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you saw that early debate with her. She really hammered Biden. I mean...
Yeah.
It made it look like she was really angry at him and didn't like him. it kind of seems. I mean, that was the hardest attack he got during the whole campaign. From her.
Mm-hmm.
So you got.
Well,
that's
I think he touched a nerve with her with regard to the whole busing issue and where he had fallen, because you have to look at how old she is and where she would have fallen. With regard to, okay, let me just say it in plain English. She was of that age where that would have affected her.
And it did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so he's trying to sugarcoat his actions that directly affected her. And she's saying, no, you got to come correct. And I think that's one of the reasons why she hammered him. It's like, you know, you can fool other people and try to dress these things up, but what exactly was your vote? Do you remember what you voted? Because, I mean, we can look it up and see your vote, Biden. You know, and that's where she came from. I mean, that's one of the ways I interpret it.
Yeah. And I interpret it was very visceral because she experienced that. She experienced the challenges of Boston, so it wasn't a philosophical question for her. It was talk about her existential reality. But, you know, they're both professional politicians, so, you know, I think they were able to go beyond that, and, yeah, I'm sure they, you know, they're good friends now and say, okay, let's move on.
Yeah, I think that's a good possibility. That's probably why she's the odds-on favorite, because I'm sure they'll just brush it under the table or something and say, yeah. You know, or, you know, maybe he'll admit he didn't really admit he did anything wrong back about it with busing. And he kind of posed, as you noticed during the campaign, that he pretty much posed as a civil rights hero or something. And that's
right,
why blacks
right.
voted for him.
Right.
Yeah, that's why she called it out.
Well, you know, that whole tendency where you talk about going to South Africa and being arrested, and I say, Mr. Biden.
Yeah, yeah. You know. There's all this stuff that was like borderline not true. But
you're right. I like that, borderline not true. Yeah. His remembrance of things past are aligned with the reality necessarily.
But he is leading in the polls. I always check the poll averages, and he's led Trump all year in head-to-head polling, and so did Bernie, but not quite by the same margin. So that means there's a reservoir of popularity behind the Democrats. Just being, so I think they got a good shot. I really do. Trump just he's got a fanatic following. He's got a very fanatic following, but it's not a majority. I really don't think it's a majority.
Right.
Well, he lost people, you know, because there are people who voted for him are not happy with some of his economic responses, and especially farmers and truckers. You know, the fuel costs and the fact that farmers have faced some economic hardships and have not been able to access all this money that he promised them that he would provide for them. So, you know, stuff like that.
Well, Biden has connections to Pennsylvania, and I saw a poll where he's leading in Ohio, which is so he's got some appeal up there in the industrial Midwest with Trump won, and that'll be interesting to see. But I don't want to take up too much of your time.
But thank you so much. And I think you're correct that Mr. Biden has some working class appeal that will bring in that base. And I think, you know, the economic slide we're in and the crises, the health crises we're in, reveals Mr. Trump's weakness to those who might have voted for him but are not part of that fanatical, passionate base he has, and Biden would be, apparently according to the polls, a good alternative. But we'll see. It's a long way between now and November. And the president does have the power of the presidency.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your call. So, let's see. The time is 8:57. Which means More Talk Radio has come to an end. We want to thank you for your calls. It's really good to stay connected and to hear everyone, and to also talk about something other than the COVID-19 issue, because there are other elements to our life. We're multidimensional. But as you go through this life, as we try to address the whole experience,
remember, you know, connect to the people you can the best way you can, whether you're using online, Twitter, telephone calls, or whatever, so that social distancing is not the issue, but the physical distancing, you know, is the practice. We want to stay as connected as we possibly can to each other because we are each other's strength.
All right, Cecil and Celeste, it's about time, so we got to wrap it up. But I want to thank you both so much for being on the air. If you got 30 seconds to wrap it up for your listeners.
Take it away, Cecil.
Continue to listen. Continue to take care of yourself and one another. Continue to stay tuned to KBOO FM, your community radio station.
All right, coming up at 9 a.m. is Olmo Variety Hour. Stay tuned. And thank you so much for listening to KBOO Portland. Just a reminder that Cable Community Radio is currently closed to all in-station volunteer and visitor activity for the next 30 days due to the COVID-19 pandemic effective March 13th. And while our airwaves are still very much live, all in-station classes and meetings are canceled for this month. Our regular Board of Directors meeting, which is usually held here at the station on the fourth Monday of every month, will be held online this month. So go ahead and check out our website at kboo.fm, where you can find that Zoom link for our Board of Directors meeting happening tonight at 6 p.m. Coming up next, Olmo Variety Hour.